Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Yes, Friday night. I hope you're going to stick around for a while. Just bizarre stuff tonight. Bizarre stuff. This has been a very strange day in terms of what's going on. A PR firm run by Haley Barbour is trying to undermine the government of Iraq. Mother Teresa, it turns out, was really... if not an atheist, certainly an agnostic, double murder and suicide of Republican operatives in Central Florida, one of whom was a former head of the Georgia Republican Party, and I pretty well know, I did some checking this afternoon, I know why they're all dead. Strange stuff. How's your weather today? How you doing with the heat and the flooding? And the violent storms. I talked to some friends in Chicago. What went through the Chicago area last night, early this morning, was just astonishing. Drought. Fires. Now, I know the religious nutballs say, well, Mike, it's the end times. No. Just imagine if 10, 12, 14 years ago, when the pig man, Rush Limbaugh, started his tirade about how the idea of global climate change was nothing more than a liberal plot. Just supposing if Americans had not listened to that moron and had paid attention to the real scientists who were saying, something's happening. We think it's human-caused. We need to do something about it. I mean, my God, we would have had a 14-year jump. On what is rapidly turning into an unstoppable global calamity, isn't it? Oh, no, Mike, it's just normal weather patterns. That's all. Don't worry about it. Rush is right. You're just a sick liberal. Forget about it. Just imagine if this country listened to progressive talk radio for the past 12 or 14 years, instead of the gibbering idiots who follow Rush Limbaugh, who sit back on their asses and say, no, there's no global warming. There's no global climate change. I don't care what you call it, global warming, climate change, call it anything you want to. But Limbaugh tells you it's not there. Oh, well. Jen sent this to me. Don't be surprised if Gonzalez disappears from the Justice Department's Attorney General, and guess who is going to replace him? Yeah, the guy that's of the devil, Michael Chertoff. Can you believe this? Chertoff, whose name in Russian means of the devil. That's what Chertoff means, of the devil. Michael Chertoff, the skull and crossbones guy, is going to replace Gonzalez. Now, why Chertoff? This is all rumor so far, but usually when it starts as rumor, something like this, turns out to be pretty much true. Why Chertoff? Well, officials say he'd be an easy confirmation with the Democrats because the Democrats have no courage, no guts, no backbone, and don't give a damn what's happening to the country, and the Republicans will do anything they're told to do. So, easy confirmation on Capitol Hill. Plus, he has a hell of a lot more experience than Gonzalez did. Chertoff of the devil was a federal judge. He was an assistant attorney general. Jen writes, this idea, even as someone's sick idea of a joke, is really scary to me. I mean, torture boy was one thing, but we're about to get the big kahuna of evil in that post. I thought justice was bad. Now I'm scared at the idea of what Chertoff would do. So look for that to happen. Let's see if Jen's right. Jen's always right. New York Times does it again to the peace movement. You know, I talk all the time about how there is no cooperation from mainstream media in any of its many forms, television, newspapers, nowhere, to support resistance against this criminal regime. And the reasons are obvious, because they're part of the problem, not the solution. I know I quote the Times a lot. That doesn't mean anything. They are part of the problem. So is CNN. So are all the networks. So is just about every mainstream media outlet in the United States. You want the latest example? This comes to me from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Listen. In an August 21st New York Times story about Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama's talk to a veterans group the day before. Now, we're talking about last, what, Tuesday? New York Times reporter Jeff Zeleny attributed to Obama a dig at the anti-war movement that the Democratic candidate did not make. After reporting that, quote, one of the biggest applause lines of his speech came when he pledged that during an Obama administration, veterans would not have to wait months or years for services at veterans' hospitals, end quote. Then the writer for the Times, Jeff Zeleny, added, quote, he also said it was wrong for anti-war activists to protest at military funerals, declaring it needs to stop, end quote. That was in the New York Times, and it's not true. It never happened. He never mentioned anti-war protesters in his speech at all. You can see it by going to KCTV's website. There's a video file there. Here's what Obama actually said. Quote, and our sacred trust does not end when service members die. The graves of our veterans are hallowed ground. When men and women who die in service to this country are laid to rest, as my grandfather was laid to rest, there must be no protests near the funerals. It's wrong. And it needs to stop. That's what he said. Now, the writer for the New York Times, Jeff Zeleny, presented no evidence that Obama was referring to anti-war protesters, who in any case have not even been associated with protests at military funerals. But guess who has been? The fanatically homophobic Westboro Baptist Church, headed by this demon from hell, Fred Phelps. These people show up at funerals and celebrate soldiers' deaths as God's punishment for the military's perceived tolerance of gay troops under their don't ask, don't tell rules, which is nonsense. They're the ones that show up with signs that say, thank God for dead soldiers, and God hates fags, and thank God for IEDs, right? It's them. It's not anti-war people. It never has been. The only time you see anti-war demonstrators around something that has to do with the military is usually military hospitals, and we're there to support the troops and support improved services for veterans. But you see what this son of a bitch in New York Times did? Now, as Fair points out, this is not the first time that anti-war demonstrators have been confused with the Westboro Baptist Church demons. On June 12th last year, a Times op-ed by blogger Karen Spears Zacharias claimed, quote, hundreds of anti-war protesters appear at military hospitals and funerals, end quote. Responding to a Fair Action alert, the Times issued a correction, acknowledging that the one organization they found that had actually protested at the funerals was this anti-gay Westboro Baptist Church. Now, here's what you can do. You can send an email, public@nytimes.com. Write it down, public@nytimes.com. Write to them. Ask them why they allow one of their reporters to put words in Barack Obama's mouth, just like they did, just like CBS did to Michelle Obama the other day. They took words out of her mouth that weren't there. Now they're putting words in Barack Obama's mouth. This is horrifying. This is why you cannot trust any of these people. Disagree with me. Now, the email address, and please do something, for God's sake, I'm going to, public@nytimes.com. That's all. Be polite. Don't call them the evil, snotty sons of bitches that they really are. Don't do that. Let me do that. Send them a nice email. The public editor's name is Clark Hoyt, H-O-Y-T, Clark Hoyt. You can say, dear Clark, why is your reporter, Jeff Zeleny, stating in the New York Times, the newspaper of record, something that Barack Obama never said? Ask them that. public@nytimes.com. public@nytimes.com. Please send them an email.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
We were young together. 21 past the hour. Just bizarre stuff. In Orlando, in Orange County down there, there was a double murder and a suicide. Three people dead. And it was just reported today. Apparently it occurred last night. Tuesday. The bodies have been there since Tuesday. And here's the story. A prominent Republican political consultant and his roommate were among three people found dead Thursday in an apparent double murder and suicide. Ralph Gonzalez, 36. David Abrami, 36. Robert Drake, 30. There were signs of a struggle, but deputies did not suggest a motive. Abrami was Gonzalez's roommate, and Drake was described as a friend. Gonzalez is the former head of the Republican Party in Georgia and was president of Stratagem Group, an Orlando political consulting firm that represents Republican candidates. He managed U.S. Representative Tom Feeney's 2002 campaign and the unsuccessful 2003 Orlando mayoral campaign of advertising exec yada yada. Abrami, an attorney, was active with the Young Republicans, the University of Central Florida. And in 1992, he was among a group of Florida Republicans who went to New Hampshire to support Pat Buchanan. The men may have been dead since Tuesday. Here's what happened. The two roommates, Abrami and Gonzalez, are also lovers. Drake was somebody who felt threatened or challenged or put upon and murdered both of them and then killed himself. You know, another example of what happens to Republicans who do everything they can to suppress and deny the reality of gay folk, even when it's themselves, until they finally explode, like this guy Bob Allen, the Republican from Merritt Island, Florida, who is a member of the Florida House, who last month got arrested for attempting to solicit oral sex from an undercover cop in a public restroom. And his excuse was the rest stop where he went to solicit sex was full of black people, and he was scared that if he didn't solicit sex, he might get beat up by the black guys around in the park. You know, when black folks see this, a story like this, and after they sit there and just roll their eyes and look at each other and say, Jesus, God, are all white people insane? You know, that's what white people do. When a black person gets caught being a total jackass, don't whites blame the entire black race? Of course we do. Sure we do.
Well, that's a Negro for you.
Imagine this, though. Here's a guy who is a member of the... Oh, and is very active in anti-gay organizations and anti-gay legislation. So he solicits sex because he's afraid if he doesn't, the black boys there are going to come over here and beat me up. Oh, they scared me, Ossifer. I didn't know what to do. And now this triple killing in Orlando. And it's always Republicans. Always. Always. Who can't handle the reality that some people are heterosexual and some people are homosexual, and who cares? I mean, who cares? Well, these people do, because they go out of their way to write legislation, to sponsor these religious right freaks who try to demonize human beings simply because of who they love? Oh, my God, if that's not from hell, what is? Okay, enough. That's all. That's my anti-gay tirade for tonight. But, you know, three people are dead. Tonight. How many tomorrow? Now, somebody will say, well, Mike, it's just a typical lover's triangle. The fact that they were gay had nothing to do with it. Sorry. I don't buy that. And Mother Teresa? Mother... Mother Teresa, who wrote all these letters. And in the letters, she almost unqualifiedly, if that's the word, identifies herself as agnostic, if not completely atheist. Shortly after she started her ministry with the dying from the streets of Calcutta, she said God called her from Middle Europe to go to India and do this, and then God said, screw you, from that point on. Never heard from God again. And she lost her faith. And she started to think, wait a minute, what am I doing? And she had that aha moment that most thinking people eventually have. Aha, I am alone in the universe. Aha, okay, I'm going to do good works anyway. Aha, it's not because of Jesus or Moses or the Buddha or God or a cloud being or Muhammad. It's because I just feel like doing it. Aha.
Why are we all fighting? Huh? Why do we keep on lighting these fires, these bombs? We don't know what's gone wrong. Forgetting where we've come from and all of this.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-five before the hour. Okay, I'm getting a bunch of copies of the emails that you're sending to Clark Hoyt, the public editor at New York Times. I'm glad you're doing this. I really am. You know, we've got to do something. We can't always go to, and some of us don't even want to go to, anti-war or impeachment demonstrations. But dear God, this is the newspaper of record. And, you know, in Sunday's New York Times, I usually read the public editor, Clark Hoyt. I usually read on the editorial in the Week in Review section. And he seems to be fairly consistent about making the New York Times tell the truth. So please write to him. You just send it to public@nytimes.com. public@nytimes.com. And his name is Clark Hoyt. And again, it doesn't have to be anything outrageous. It just has to state the truth that you know, Barack Obama never said anything about the anti-war movement. That was the writer doing that. And it's horrifying when that kind of stuff occurs. It's just horrifying. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I've gotten about seven so far copies of you don't have to copy me. You can if you want to. That's fine. I mean, I really appreciate it. But just the fact that people are writing to Clark Hoyt, the public editor, publiceditor@nytimes.com. Mother Teresa. CBS News reported this all the way back in 86. Mother Teresa had an interview with CBS News and said she had a calling based on unquestioned faith. What that means, you know, she was a nun. She was absolutely devoted to her Jesus, to her Christ, to her religion, and she felt that God called her to where was she from? Romania or someplace in Middle Europe? It's all right. Don't email me. But and she went to India to work with the poorest of the poor and people who were dying of AIDS, people who were living on the streets in Calcutta, for God's sake. And she opened what was, in essence, a hospice. And what she offered was unqualified, unconditional love to people who had nothing. Not, you know, forget material things. Had nothing spiritual. Had nothing emotional. Had nothing psychological. They were husks, hulls, who were being left on the streets of Calcutta to die. And Mother Teresa showed up. And apparently she thought she was called by God. But then she started to realize, wait a second, maybe not. And now it has emerged that Mother Teresa was so doubtful of the Christian faith, of God, of any of this nonsense, that she feared that if she were found out, she would be referred to as a hypocrite. And she wrote this stuff. She wrote letters. And the instructions were, upon her death, to destroy all of her letters, which obviously wasn't done. So now some wag on television tonight said, well, obviously, when she is finally canonized and turned into a saint, she will become the saint of the doubtful, the patron saint of the doubtful. Now, some people are going to say, well, Mike, she was just questioning her faith. She's, you know, the good Christians do that. I'm sorry. That's not the way I read this. So anyway, Mother Teresa turns out to be, at best, an agnostic, and if pushed, probably would have admitted to her atheism. And I, you know, I certainly do not even attempt here to find a rationale for Mother Teresa's point of view any more than I do for Elie Wiesel, who wrote the book Night. And I've said this 10,000 times on this program over the past several years. If you haven't read the book, and it's very quick, Night by Elie Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor, the person who spent an awful lot of time assisting in bringing Nazis and to justice. If you read Night and you find out how Elie Wiesel had his moment when he stared into an open pit of other children burning to death. I think he was 10, 11, 12, somewhere, right near the Jewish age of reason, right near Bar Mitzvah. And he realized in that moment, there's no God. There's no God. Now, whether or not he repudiated that point of view, and now someone would say, well, Mike, that was the point of view of a 10-year-old, 11-year-old. Yeah, okay, well, whatever, you know, spin it any way you want. Elie Wiesel and Mother Teresa coming to a very clear conclusion, a realization, an epiphany. What am I doing sitting here chanting to some cloud being? If I want to do good works, I'll go do it. If I want to be witness to horror and terror unknown in modern history, I'll do it. I don't need a God or a cloud being or something to tell me that, give me permission. Oh, well. Oh, well. But Mother Teresa, who'd have thunk it, huh? Mother Teresa. Wow. There's a powerhouse lobbying firm in, I guess they're in D.C., with extremely close ties to the Bush crime family. The name of the firm is Barber, Griffith & Rogers. Barber, as in Haley Barber, former head of the Republican National Committee, now governor of Mississippi, and an absolute filthy criminal. Just absolute. This is a guy who illegally took money from China to bankroll the Republican Party at a time when it looked like the Republican Party was not going to be able to hold on to its majority in the House. I'm talking about in the 90s. This guy is filthy. Barber is just filthy. He also has a high-powered PR firm. So his high-powered PR firm has begun a public campaign to overthrow the government of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. CNN confirms this now. And of course, all this happens as Bush is taking great pains to reiterate his support for Maliki, I don't necessarily mean to mispronounce his name, I just always forget. Maliki. Now, it could be good cop, bad cop. very easily. Bush is amoral. He has a huge black hole where most people have a soul or a heart or consciousness or third eye or pineal gland or anything you want to call it. Bush is devoid of that, so he doesn't care. Human beings are interchangeable parts to this sick bastard. But he's making the case. Oh, yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, I'd support him. In the meantime, Haley Barbour's law firm is doing everything it can to undermine the government of al-Maliki. So, is it good cop, bad cop? Who knows? But I love the statement that came from, was it Gordon Jandro? Yeah, Gordon Jandro today, spokesman for the White House, was asked why supporters of Bush would take a position like this. It might embarrass the administration. And you know what Gordon Jandro said? He was asked why Republican lobbyists would want to undercut the Bush administration's public statements. And Jandro said, quote, maybe it's a really good contract, end quote. These filthy sons of bitches, are they not just filthy? According to documents filed with the Justice Department, like that matters, this firm, Haley Barbour's firm, received $50,000 a month for 6 months of work, $300,000. And their sole purpose is to undermine and overthrow the government of Nouri al-Maliki. That's what this is all about. Now, who else is involved in this? Barbour, Griffith, and Rogers? Well, they got the services of two one-time foreign policy experts for George W. Bush. Ambassador Robert Blackwell, who was the former Deputy National Security Advisor, who was Bush's envoy to Iraq and helped form the interim government in 2004 of this guy, Alawi. See, that they want to get Alawi back in, the former prime minister. You know why? Iyad Alawi was more malleable. He will do what he's told. Maliki won't. Alawi will become a whore for the oil companies. No offense to sex workers. Maliki won't. It's that simple. So Robert Blackwell, the former Deputy National Security Advisor in the United States, who was Bush's envoy to Iraq and helped form that interim government in 2004, and, are you ready, Philip Zelikow, former counselor to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Zelikow, you know his name, Philip Zelikow. You know who this guy is. Oh, my God. Of course, he denies everything. He's part of the firm, but he says, oh, well, this doesn't involve me directly or indirectly. I don't even know about it. Oh, man. So, does that mean anything? Huh? Haley Barbour, governor of Mississippi, and attempting in his way to overthrow an elected government in Iraq to get one in that will be more willing to lay down and spread its cheeks. Oh, the freak alive brings my heart more sorrow than if ever I'm out of the freak alive. I'll never get in it anymore. Oh, the freak alive brings my heart more sorrow than if ever I'm out of the freak alive. I'll never get
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
I'm getting some more copies of the emails you're sending to Clark Hoyt, who is the public editor at the New York Times. Bless you for doing it. We've got to do something. Public@nytimes.com is where you write. And if you want the entire story, go to fair.org. fair.org, and it's all there. Yeah, fair.org. And then find it. New York Times smears peace movement again. Just go to fair.org if you want the whole thing. The how is Haley Barbour's PR firm? You know, you have who's the guy, the former press secretary that's doing the anti Ari Fleischer is doing the pro war commercials. And you got to know who's really funding that is the weapons industry. They don't want war to ever stop. Oh my God, they're like the insurance companies and the oil companies. They're getting just incredibly wealthy on death and destruction. Always have, always will. But you have Ari Fleischer promoting war, and you have Haley Barbour promoting the overthrow of an elected government in Iraq to replace, whether you like Maliki or not, is beside the point. Hasn't Bush, don't these filthy pig Republicans keep making the point that he was elected and we have to defend him? And now you have Haley Barbour doing everything he can to overthrow the government? Jesus God, how much longer is this going to go on? According to an email obtained by CNN, Haley Barbour's PR firm sent a mass message this past Tuesday to congressional staffers with the subject line, quote, a new leader in Iraq. And it promotes Alawi, Ayad Alawi, the former prime minister, as the successor to al-Maliki. And the email says, please see today's news items regarding the increased skepticism of the Maliki government in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal. Now, a second email from Haley Barbour's firm sent congressional staffers a copy of a recent Washington Post op-ed column by Alawi himself, who said Iraq will fall apart unless Maliki is forced out of power. Now, this has nothing with falling apart. This has nothing with to do with national unity or democracy or anything. It has to do with the fact that Awad Alawi will do exactly as he is told, and Nouri al-Maliki does not. Oh, my God. The bottom of the email, the email sent to the congressional staffers, the people who filter up to the members of Congress, position papers and points of view and things to say and how to say it and what the buzz is, you see? These emails came from the email address Dr. Ayad Alawi at alawi-4-iraq.com, right? But at the bottom of the email, there was this note of disclosure. Barbour, Griffith & Rogers, LLC, has filed registration statements under the Foreign Agents Registration Act with regard to its representation and dissemination of information on behalf of Dr. Ayad Alawi. Now, the article at CNN says one Republican congressional aide who received the emails this week expressed surprise that a lobbying firm with such close ties to the White House. Remember who's involved here. Haley Barbour, Robert Blackwill, Philip Zelikow. These are top dogs. These are right up there in the Karl Rove scratch your ass crowd. These are the top dogs, and they are undermining and attempting to overthrow a foreign government that Bush keeps coming out and saying, well, you got elected. It's freedom. Freedom's on march. Democracy. Voting. Bush knows what's going on. This PR firm would do nothing of the sort without Bush and Rove and Cheney's permission. Hello? They're doing it to us again, aren't they? Huh? They're doing to it. It just doesn't stop. One congressional aide who received emails this week expressed surprise that a lobbying firm with such close ties to the White House would attack al-Maliki at such a pivotal time on the debate over the war, just weeks before Bush provides a progress report to the nation. The lobbying firm was founded by conservative stalwarts. They're not conservatives. They're Nazis. They're rat bastards. They're filth.
Haley Barbour, the former Republican National Committee chairman and current governor of Mississippi, Lanny Griffith, who worked for the administration of former President George Herbert Walker Bush, and Ed Rogers, an aide to former Presidents Ronald Reagan and Bush.
So there you go. Don't you hate these people? You know you do. You know you do. So what can you and I do? Well, we can write a letter to public editor Clark Hoyt, public@nytimes.com, and just ask them to please stop putting words that are just made up in the mouths of Barack Obama and his wife Michelle. And apparently it was the same, this Jeff Zeleny, apparently it was the same one who started this garbage about Michelle Obama. I mean, what is Jeff Zeleny's, what is his agenda, huh? What is he, another Judith Miller? Was that her name, Judith Miller? Another one? Have we got another one here? New York Times, the paper of record, just makes stuff up. Why is Jeff Zeleny not going to be fired Monday morning, huh? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This Alawi thing and this Haley Barbour's PR firm attempting to overthrow the government of Iraq and install a whore, no offense to sex workers, who will do what the CIA tells him to do. I just can't seem to let it go. I don't know if you know this, but during the break, I did some quick research on Alawi because I forgot all this too. He was recruited by the CIA in 1992. He is a CIA asset. He works for the CIA. And a couple of years ago, two Australian newspapers published an article stating that right before the handover of sovereignty, when Alawi was the interim prime minister, he summarily executed six suspected insurgents at a Baghdad police station. Remember that story? He pulled out his gun and shot six of them dead in the face and the head. He just executed them on the spot. The allegations are backed up by two independent sources, and the execution is said to have taken place in the presence of about a dozen Iraqi police, four American security men, and the Iraqi interior minister. Mr. Alawi reportedly said that the execution was, quote, to send a clear message to the police on how to deal with insurgents, end quote. The allegations made by the Sydney Morning Herald journalist Paul McGow went largely unreported by mainstream American media. Blah, blah, blah. Now, also about Alawi, he's the one who assisted in claiming that there were weapons of mass destruction. He was advocating the overthrow of his own country, the invasion of his own country, because this piece of human waste knows that if he can just get a toehold, just like that thug Shalabi, if they can just get a toehold, you see, they'll be rich. The American oil companies and Imperial America will make them rich. According to Wikipedia, Alawi channeled this report about weapons of mass destruction in that country from an Iraqi officer, claiming that Iraq could deploy its supposed weapons of mass destruction within 45 minutes, could deploy them. The claim featured prominently in the September dossier, which the British government released in 2002 to gain public support for the Iraq invasion. And in December 2003, Mr. Alawi was flown to CIA headquarters in Langley to discuss detailed plans for setting up a domestic secret service, which is a domestic terrorist organization. Son of a bitch. How much more of this can we stand, huh? Now, a couple of you have already picked up on it. Athena writes in, Mike, didn't Bush sign an executive order a few months ago that simply said anyone interfering in the Iraqi government would be subject to having all their possessions, their goods, and their persons seized by the Secretary of the Treasury and the Secretary of Defense? And we thought this was focused on anti-war folks. I guess Haley Barbour better take his money out of those crimson condos and make his way to Paraguay. No, Haley Barbour's safe. And current Minneapolis. Mike, it was only about a month ago that we were collectively raging about Bush's latest pronouncement. So, I think as patriots who support our president, we should lobby Bush to seize all of Haley Barbour's assets for undermining democracy building in Iraq. And Great Hair says, hey Mike, doesn't this fall under Bush's new directive for interfering in the reconstruction efforts in Iraq? Have their assets been seized yet? No, it doesn't apply to Haley Barbour and Philip Zelikow and these thugs who used to work for Bush, who continue to work for death and destruction. It doesn't apply to them. It applies to you. It applies to me. If I send $10 to an organization that might be trying to establish real democracy in Iraq, my ass can go to prison or worse. But Haley Barbour? Oh, no. He can do whatever he wants. Oh, and by the way, Hillary Clinton is on board to overthrow the government of Nouri al-Maliki. Yeah, Hillary Clinton. According to Reuters, and this was in truthdigest.com, this is what Clinton said in a statement, quote, Iraqi leaders have not met their own political benchmarks to share power, to modify the de-ba'athification laws, to pass an oil law, Senator, schedule provincial elections, and amend their constitution. I share Senator Levin's hope that the Iraqi parliament will replace Prime Minister Maliki with a less divisive and more unifying figure when it returns in a few weeks. End quote. Really? Do you have anyone in mind, Senator Clinton? Anyone at all? Have you and Carl Levin had a sit down and decided who might be a good replacement? Can you think of anybody, Senator Clinton? And what is this? She wants to see the oil law passed. Does Hillary Clinton not know what the oil law is? Is she that ignorant? Is she? Oh my God. So is Hillary Clinton going to have all of her assets seized now by the Bush crime family? Because she is, in a more oblique way, but she is nonetheless advocating the removal from office of Mr. al-Maliki. Haley Barbour is sending out blast faxes. Haley Barbour has taken in $300,000 from who? From Alawi. Where did he get the money? Oh, he's very, very rich. Hundreds of millions of dollars. He's a CIA asset. He's a killer. He's an absolute murderer. He puts a gun. Remember the picture? Those of you above a certain age remember this. Those of you who are younger don't remember it. But the chief of police in Saigon who summarily executed a suspected Viet Cong on the street. We remember that. People in my generation remember that. Shot his ass dead in front of CBS News. And there it was. And it was on the news and in the front page of the Times. That's what Alawi is. Yes, Mr. Bush. There are lots of comparisons between our Iraq adventure and our Vietnam adventure. Yes, indeed. Just execute people. Six of them all at once. Bang, 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 bang. You're dead. And that's who Haley Barbour and Hillary Clinton and Carl Levin and the Republicans and the Republicrats and the Democans and Bush. That's who they want. Now, Bush, of course, will continue to do his little doo-doo dance. He'll like a dog getting ready to take a dump. Bush will continue to just doo-doo dance around and around and say, oh, I support him. He's a nice guy. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Good cop. While the bad cop, the former head of the Republican National Committee and now the Republican governor of Mississippi, sits on, his name is on the masthead of a law firm that is attempting to overthrow the government of Iraq. Oh my God. This is kind of interesting. Yesterday, retired General Jack Keane, who was the vice chief of staff of the military in this country during the 2003 invasion, he's the one who advocated. He wanted to go in and have people get killed. He was a key advisor to the Bush administration. Well, he went on BBC radio the other day and criticized the UK for planning to withdraw from Iraq. He says, quite frankly... Well, no, David Petraeus said recently of the British, quite frankly, what they're doing right now is not value-added. This son of a bitch. This David Petraeus. It's not value-added. They're talking about life and death. They're talking about war. Petraeus went on to say the situation there gets worse by the day. Americans are disappointed because in their minds this thing is still winnable. They don't intend to cut and run. Now, Keane agreed. He said, yeah, that's true. His comments echo those of Petraeus. They're blaming the British for not reducing violence in Basra, but that's a task the U.S. has been unable to achieve anywhere else. Attacks in June reached their highest daily average since May of 2003. The number of unidentified bodies in Baghdad has risen to pre-surge levels over the past 2 months. Keane's solution? He wants another surge. It was his idea to send 40,000 more troops to Iraq. He wants more, and he's not even in the military anymore. So they bust up on the British for deciding, we've had enough of this, we're leaving. So what happened in Afghanistan today? Three British soldiers were killed by a bomb dropped by U.S. aircraft supporting them in a battle against Taliban insurgents in southern Afghanistan. Really? The incident takes the number of British deaths in Afghanistan since the Taliban was toppled in 2001 to 73. So, you know, pull out of Iraq, we'll kill you in Afghanistan. A British military spokesman said the guys were on a routine patrol last night northwest of Kajaki. They came into quite an intense fight, and during that fight they called in close air support, which was provided by two U.S. F-15 aircraft. A single bomb was dropped by the aircraft. Afghan officials have criticized us for killing hundreds of civilians in the past 2 years with these airstrikes. The British Ministry of Defense said a thorough investigation is going to be launched. And in Washington, the U.S. State Department said it was saddened by the deaths and would also investigate. Kurt Volker, the U.S. Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for European Eurasian Affairs, said in a written statement, quote, the United States is deeply saddened by the death of three British soldiers in Afghanistan and the wounding of two others in a friendly fire incident involving ordnance dropped by a U.S. aircraft. We will investigate this tragic incident thoroughly. Criticize me on Monday, I will kill your people on Tuesday.
We're busted in the blinding light.
Busted in the blinding light.
Busted in the blinding light.
Reality radio for a rational world. The Mike Malloy Show. Only on Nova M Radio.
A rational world? Well, that's not where we live. And I've just got to say this. I know y'all are aware, and I'm not trying to ignore your emails. It's just not time for me to talk about it yet. But y'all are aware, especially in San Diego and San Francisco, that some changes are coming where it concerns the stations that carry this program and other so-called liberal talk shows. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. Things are what they are. If you have questions about these changes, you need to address them, obviously, to the local sales manager or general managers. There's not a damn thing I can do about any of it, and there's nothing that Nova M can do about it, and frankly, there's nothing you can do about it. But if you want to voice an opinion, be polite. You know, there's no reason jumping all over general managers. They usually do what they're told from corporate. And corporate is so far removed from the real world. The only thing they're interested in is profit. And corporate America does not support anything other than right-wing crap. So anyway, there's some changes coming. We just have to deal with them. Ron in Briarwood, New York writes, regarding the elections and the purple fingers in Iraq and overthrowing the government there. Hi, Mike. Oh, those wonderful elections. Oh, those wonderful millions of Iraqis who stood in line to vote. Oh, those wonderful purple-colored fingers. Well, Bush is telling all those voters where they can stick those purple fingers. When do we impeach? It is all so, so surreal. Ron. Yeah. And I've got to mention this. This was sent to me by Peter Moore, M-O-H-R. I mention his name because I'm sure he has no problem with this. Here's what he wrote. The subject is Mississippi Gulf Coast. Mike, I'm writing you from Biloxi, Mississippi on a church mission trip. I'm listening to you on the internet over KTPK, my home station in Seattle. The conditions here are exactly as you described them in your story hour. I spent today volunteering at a free medical clinic and spent sobering time listening to these poor people's stories. Monday and Tuesday I spent doing finishing work on a woman's home who has been in a FEMA trailer for 2 years. One statistic that startled me is that 90% of the homes that have been rebuilt in Mississippi since Katrina have been built by volunteers. 90%. I found this a damning indictment of our federal relief system, but it also gave me faith in the goodness of Americans to respond to another in need. Many of those volunteer groups are from churches. So as a liberal Christian who laughs understandingly at your nightly Christian dominionist rants, give us a little do. And it's signed Pastor Peter Moore, Lutheran Church of Christ the King, Tacoma, Washington. And I wrote back to Pastor Moore and said, I deeply respect what he's doing. And I do. And I do. My tirades and argument are not against individual acts of decency and kindness and charity as this pastor and obviously members of his church are performing. It's against the overarching idea of religion. And Pastor Moore, thank you for writing. I apologize on a level that I think you understand. If you take offense at things I say, I really do. My intent is not to offend people who are literally doing the kind of work that the man Jesus advocated. That's not my intent at all. It never is. It's not my intent to bust religious Jews or Muslims who truly believe in the peacefulness of their faith. That's not my intent. And I know it doesn't come through very often. I am a complete, total non-believer in anything that smacks of religion. That's just where I'm at. But I fully understand that people who do subscribe to religious mythology can do wonderful things just as atheists and agnostics and humanists can do. You know, a good example is Jimmy Carter's, well, it's not his. He's just involved in Habitat for Humanity, on and on. There are so many organizations that are set up to ease human suffering, to move people out of despair, that are faith-based. And I have great respect for that kind of an idea. But I also know that the Lutheran Church denies communion to people who happen to be gay. And that's one of the places where I have a real problem, Pastor Moore. I just don't get that. You know what I'm saying?
I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-five before the hour. I guess this is the last thing before we go to the phone calls here. I do have more, but I would like to get some of your calls. This is a press release from the American Atheists Incorporated. Yeah, huh? Press release went out. Here's what it says. American atheists caution today that President Bush's plan to sell $20 billion of advanced military hardware to Saudi Arabia and five other Persian Gulf states and provide $30 billion more aid to Israel threatens to further destabilize the religion and fuel, destabilize the region and fuel religion-based terrorism. The New York Times last month described Bush's removal maneuver. I'm really losing it tonight. I apologize. The New York Times last month described Bush's maneuver, quote, to contain the growing power of Iran in the region and demonstrate that no matter what happens in Iraq, Washington remains committed to its longtime Arab allies, end quote. Ellen Johnson, president of American Atheists, said that further military assistance, quote, can only add to the instability of this already volatile region, end quote, and called for an international arms embargo. Johnson added that the U.S. needs to pay less attention to preparing the Arab countries for war and instead join an international effort to develop the area and create economic prosperity and grow secular institutions. She added, creating jobs and economic opportunity, securing full rights for the region's women, encouraging an authentic civil society with personal rights, all of this is needed to challenge the rampant clerical terrorism that plagues the Middle East, end quote. And Dave Silverman, communications director for American Atheists, said that Western aid is fueling the growth of religious chauvinism throughout the area. He said, quote, in Saudi Arabia, the religious police drive new American Jeeps, and King Abdullah declared last year that he supports the Quran as his nation's constitution and Islam as the state religion. Continuing the quote, this type of military aid is propping up dictatorial, theocratic regimes. These weapons can easily fall into the hands of religious-based terrorists who are even more ruthless in their desire to play the role of being God's warriors. End quote, David Silverman. You can get in touch with these people at atheists.org. Very simple. Atheists.org. Yeah, I haven't heard any Christian leaders in this country. I'm sure there must be some who have raised their voices against this effort to pump $50 billion more dollars of military weaponry and death and destruction into the Middle East. I really haven't. Hello, Christian leaders. Anyone out there want to make a statement against this? I've heard a few Jews who have said it's a bad idea. I haven't heard any Muslim leaders step up and say, yo, no, we don't need more death and destruction. We need a little peace and understanding. Haven't heard that. Hello, Christians. Where are you, Christian leaders? But the atheists are making the point. Man. Okay. Let's do some phone calls, okay? Let's start with Susan, who is calling from Oakland Park, Florida, listening on WINZ. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Susan.
I do not know where to start, literally, after listening to you for the last almost 2 hours.
I know.
It's all incredible, but how about these two interrelated items? Tonight's Bill Moyers Journal, which I taped so I could listen to you, was apparently focused entirely on media consolidation, especially regarding radio and television.
Uh-huh.
They evidently, I was able to catch during some of the breaks some of the captioning.
Yeah.
And one of his guests in the second half was the current FCC Commissioner Michael J. Copps, who said he wants to hear from average Americans about media consolidation and how bad it is for the country.
He's the Democrat?
I don't know anything about him, and I couldn't read enough to find out.
Well, I wonder if they're serious, and what...
Exactly.
You know, the thing that drives me insane about that, Susan, is that who is to think that the FCC will respond to you and me, individuals, consumers of television and radio, and ignore the trillion-dollar industry that is corporate media? Who is to think that they're going to? I mean, this
That's
is
why I can't
laughable.
Wait to hear what he actually said. If it does turn out, and you can watch Bill Moyer's journal online. I don't know if there's a time delay in its availability, but I know that I've watched portions of it before online that I've missed. So
Right. Just
Google Bill Moyer's journal and PBS, and that should get you there. And maybe, not that I think it will do any good, but maybe the San Diego and San Francisco listeners can copy emails that they send to the station managers to Mr. Copps, COPPS.
I think that's a good idea. In a lot of markets, they replay, since Bill Moyer's journal comes over, what is it, PBS?
Right.
It's replayed sometime during the weekend, and I will make sure that I, you know, check our guide to see if I can see that. And I hate to be a cynic, and I know you hate to be a cynic, but you and I both know, Susan, that it truly is not going to change. It is not. They're not going to unconsolidate. A. B. When the Democrats do get control, I mean real control, not just one vote of the House. The Senate and veto-proof control of the House and a Democrat in the White House. These Democrats are going to do nothing to turn it around because they accept so much money from these various corporations. There are very few broadcast outlets now or broadcast organizations that are really owned by journalists. I don't mean owned by actual scribes, people that sit down with a green eye shade and write a column, but you know what I mean. They're owned,
people who have the public in mind.
Right. They're owned by corporations whose function is to make a profit. It's not to inform the public. That's why this turning over of our intelligence gathering to, you know, outsourcing it to private corporations drives me even more mad than I already am. Because
I'll bet you Choice Point's involved in this somehow.
Oh, I'm sure. But their first obligation is not going to be to the security of the United States. Think about this for a second. So many of these private security firms or intelligence gathering firms are going to be subsidiaries of corporations that are directly involved in the military industrial establishment. Now, let me ask you something. If they have a chance to manufacture a threat from I don't, pick a country, that would enable them to then go ahead and get government contracts to produce more weaponry. What is to make us think they wouldn't? They're going to be in charge of two things, providing the intelligence and then providing the weaponry to offset the threat provided in the intelligence that they provide. This is madness. Susan.
Don't forget, they're also going to get the contracts to rebuild what they've destroyed.
Yes.
Second, sort of related.
Okay.
The Ari Fleischer TV ad, which I have not seen yet. I'm sure I will. Bill Moyers played a little tiny clip of it.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Evidently,
yeah.
The group associated with it or somehow connected to it is called Freedom's Watch.
Yeah.
They have a toll-free number, which I learned on Randy's show, that I'd like to pass on.
Do it. What is it?
877-222-8001. But if you call, don't attack the Rove bots right away. Just stay on and waste as much of their time as possible.
877-222.
8001.
And this is who, this is the organization putting out these or funding these commercials?
Evidently, there is a connection there. I don't know what it is. I haven't seen. I don't know if it's a referral number in the ad,
mm-hmm.
or if these are the people behind the ad. I really don't know enough about it to say.
This stuff is really. It is horrifying, Susan, because it is so amoral. There are no morals here, no ethics, no spirituality, no divinity. And I realize what I'm saying now because I don't subscribe to that stuff. But you know what I'm saying. All these people claim, you know, to be good Christians or good Muslims or good Jews or whatever. And there's not a scrap of morality here. Not a scrap.
I'm in complete agreement with you.
Absolute, complete
agreement. I'm an atheist. I've been one ever since I could reason. And although I, you know, there are good works that are done by religious people.
Yeah.
Organized religion has nothing to do with that.
No, it doesn't. It just doesn't.
Last but not least, do I remember correctly that Haldeman and Ehrlichman both came from the world of advertising?
Yes, they were ad men in Southern California.
I thought so. So, you know, the whole thing is a selling shell game.
That's it.
If you can get the right people to sell your product, even if you roll it out in August,
you can convince. You can convince.
Yeah. Anyway, have a great night. Some night tell us who Kevin Kinney is.
I'll tell you right now, Kevin Kinney is a musician. He had a band called Drivin' and Cryin' here in Atlanta, based in Athens. He was part of the Athens music scene, like R.E.M. and the B-52s and all those bands that came out of Athens in the 80s. He now does mostly a solo act, although occasionally gets together with his band. They had a couple of big hits in the 80s and early 90s, and he's a good friend. He's an excellent musician, and I just love him to death. So that's who Kevin Kinney is, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Susan.
And next time I get a chance to go to the library, I will look at those adorable pictures of Molly.
Thanks. Take care.
Good night,
Mike. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. This is Kevin Kinney. Maybe it was Susan's call, or maybe because it's Friday, but probably just because it's been a while and I miss it. Going to play Kevin Kinney tunes the rest of the program tonight. Feels that you know, like that kind of night. If you're not familiar with his music, you should be. You can go to his website, Kevin Kinney. Only he spells it K-E-V-N, no I in it. KevinKinney.com.org. I don't know. You can find it. I spent many a nights, summer nights here in Atlanta, over in Athens, Georgia. You know, outside, just getting high, listening to Drivin' and Cryin', looking at the stars at night, hanging out with people, listening to that music. Oh, my God. But I digress. Back to your phone calls. Alan is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you tonight?
Doing fine. How are you?
Fine. I never complain. Okay. I'm here in Phoenix. I'm part of the inner family of Nova M.
Well, bless your heart.
Well, thank you, brother. As a matter of fact, I met you on your visit that you when you came a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I said, well, where's Miss Molly? And immediately you reached into your inner pockets and pulled out some pictures of Molly.
Oh, that's right. I remember that, right?
Right. So, Kathy, and as a matter of fact, what you told me was if you were on an airplane, it was going to go down, you'd have the pictures readily available that you can see your baby.
Yeah, that's what that's what I do. I'm still a nervous flyer, although I'm getting over it. I'll fly anywhere now. But I carry pictures of Molly in my shirt pocket.
In your coat pocket.
Right, and when it starts to get a little bit turbulent, or what I consider, it's going to crash turbulent, which never happens, of course. Instead of starting to be a hypocrite and praying to some cloud being, I just whip out the pictures of my daughter and look at them and say, I love you, Molly.
I'm impressed because that's the story you told me because I said, well, where's Miss Molly? You know what I'm saying? And
right.
You whipped out those pictures and pow, there they were. And she's simply gorgeous.
That's, yeah.
And I'd have to say to anybody, if Novam puts on something and Mike Malloy is going to be there, do be there because we had such a fabulous time.
We had a good time. All I remember that night after a certain point, after about 9 o'clock, was that no matter what I did, my wine glass was always full. And we stayed there talking to people. Oh, my God, it just went on and on.
We sure did. I don't know if you remember me, but I had the camera.
I remember you.
And I took a beautiful picture with a wine glass. I said, here he is with that wine glass.
I remember, Adam.
I can't wait to see you again, Mike. I really can't wait.
Appreciate it.
Right. My reason for calling tonight is, my home city is New Orleans.
Oh, God.
And Sarge is, actually, Sarge was born in New Orleans. We were born in the same hospital called Charity Hospital. He was born on the white side. I was born on what was called the colored side.
The colored side, yeah.
Yeah, so we're kind of the salt and pepper team.
Uh-huh.
I do go to his program, Unreported News, on Sunday mornings, and he talks a lot about the aftermath of the hurricane and the fact that the people of Mississippi or Gulf Coast are suffering. And what I do is I represent the people of New Orleans. They're suffering as well. My reason for calling is this Haley Barbour. The fact is Haley Barbour is doing nothing for the people of the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and he's got time to be involved in trying to overthrow a sovereign government?
Yeah, it's astonishing. It's unbelievable, Alan. This is the kind of stuff that you think to yourself, no. None of this is true. Can't be true.
This is the damnedest thing I've ever heard.
I was in
Over M today, and Sarge is kind of like taking a respite. I can't wait to bring him up to date and let him know that Haley Barbour's trying to overthrow a government overseas. You know what I'm saying? He ain't got no time to see about these people on Mississippi Gulf Coast.
No, I got an email from Sarge tonight who said, the email said that Haley Barbour is trying to, Sarge is aware of the story, but Haley Barbour is trying to deny that a law or a PR firm that carries his name is really associated with him. He's trying to say, oh, well, I haven't had any association with that company. He's trying that tactic. It's all insanity. Every single bit of it.
These people are so evil. They are so evil.
Well, it's a real challenge, Alan, to try to stay sane when everything around you indicates that insanity is what's necessary to survive. Hey, listen, pal, we're about to start the music. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in.
Okay, my friend. I will check with you again soon, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Take care, Alan. Take care. We'll be back after the break. Final hour. A little more Kevin Kinney here. Final hour coming up. We're just going to take phone calls. So one open line, the one Alan was on. If you want to jump in here and join us, 800-989-1480. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
They make me my day to last as long as I can take. Have you heard the wolf been creeping around my door while I was sleeping? I figured they would be so honest and swap my blisters for their promise.
I've got you on.
It's about 7 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you very much for sticking around here for the third and final hour. Let's go right back to your phone calls. Thomas is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Thomas, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
No, you have to take me off speaker.
Okay. Oh, I think this time it worked.
Okay, there you go.
Two things, quick. I think that you're right. I think Bush is not stupid like he tries to make everybody think. I think he's a cold-blooded killer. Maybe those countries that bring him to justice, maybe, that want to try him as a war criminal. And then the second thing I wanted to say was Sir Isaac Newton did what Mother Teresa did. He lived with another guy, and he was his close confidant, and he had manuscripts that and he locked himself away for about several months or maybe a year. He was trying to calculate to see if the Bible was true and if there was a God. And the calculations were kept secret. He didn't want anything. And when he died, he left all that to his confidant. And so in history, they showed it on the PBS channel about Sir Isaac Newton, how he hid his... in fact, when he came out after he did the secret manuscripts or secret diaries, he became, into politics and acted like he was a elder of the church. And, you know, but it was all a false front. He just didn't want anyone to know because he knew that he could be persecuted. You know, look what happened in Galileo.
Right, right.
They still have the Flat Earth Society. So those are the two things I wanted to get your feedback on.
Well, what from what point of view? I'm not sure what it is that you want from me. What? Hello? What happened?
Oh,
are you there, Thomas?
Yeah, I don't know how I got this repeat of myself.
Okay, what is it that you wanted me to comment on?
Well, in general, I just think that Bush is playing good cop, bad cop. He does it. He did it with McCain. I've seen him do it repeatedly where he has his people, his buddies that
I think I understand what you're saying. Bush has enough allies in the neo-fascist right in this country that he can do anything he wants to do. It doesn't make any difference what position he takes. Bush has no position on anything. Bush can say it's white, knowing that he's got allies who will say, no, it's black. And Bush really believes it's black. Bush can say it's up when he really believes it's down. But he knows he has allies in the neo-fascist American right, whether it's political or media, that will say just the opposite of what he really once said. This is a sick, degenerate political system that we have. It's totally screwed to the wall, Thomas. And the only way we're going to change it is to somehow, I just can't say the words, can I? But you understand what I'm saying. Take care. Kurt is calling from Minneapolis, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Kurt.
Good to talk to you, Mike.
Oh, this is my man, Kurt, from Minneapolis.
This is me. Finally got the stones to call.
Well, there you are.
Molly's gorgeous, Kathy. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Almost as good looking as my eight-year-old boy.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, I got a few things I'd like to throw at you, and I can throw them at you pretty quick.
Okay.
The first one is, as you heard of the movie No End in Sight?
The movie No End in Sight?
Yep.
No, I haven't heard of that one yet.
Go check out noendinsightmovie.com.
Send me a link.
Yeah, all right. It's put together by, I guess, a former Brookings Institute member. And they got some of the key players that were in there originally with Jay Garner.
Uh-huh.
And a couple soldiers and Dick Armitage and a few others that they interview. And if you want to stay mad through the weekend, go see the movie.
Oh, yeah, I really want to do that.
You don't want to do that? Okay. I was mad enough to use foul language afterwards. Secondly, the $50 billion going to the Middle East.
Right.
I don't think the American atheists have to worry about that falling into anybody's hands but the government. My suspicion is that's to take care of the Shia Crescent.
Yeah, but 30 billion of it is grants to the Israelis over the next 10 years, in addition to everything else that we give the Israeli government. And I don't think they're going to use that money for educating Palestinians.
No. I know. I mean, if they're talking about hitting Iran, they're talking about dealing with Hezbollah at the same time and possibly Syria. That's what I'm thinking. So to deal with Hezbollah. Some of it, I don't know, we bomb and maybe some of the Saudis and some of the other typically Sunni armies.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I get your point. I get your point.
Just food for thought.
Yeah, the Shia are some of the people in Iraq and Iran, and the Sunnis are everybody else. The Egyptians, the Jordanians, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, the people in the UAE. Okay, I get your point.
Right. Bingo.
Yeah.
Quickly, for anybody who's interested, in Madison Freedom from Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. They're having a convention October 12th through the 14th if people want to go to that site. And I was thinking about for the California, they're both Clear Channel stations, yeah?
I think they are. I think San Diego and San Francisco are both Clear Channel, yeah.
Okay, are they publicly held?
I don't know anymore. I think Clear Channel bought back. I don't know. I just don't pay any attention to that stuff anymore.
Okay.
I just know that when I worked for Air America, when Air America was trying to expand, a lot of Clear Channel stations picked up Air America programming.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons was because they were just overrepresented in their markets with right-wing talk.
Right,
so,
right.
Okay, here comes Air America. Air America tanked. They're still around, but I don't think they'll be around too much longer. And my personal opinion has nothing to do with business; just my personal opinion, because they're not liberal. They have a couple liberal talkers still on there,
right.
But their management is not liberal. So, when Nova M came along, the only recognizable radio program on Nova M when they first came out was mine. So a lot of Clear Channel stations who liked the fact that I was on when I was with Air America picked up the show.
Oh yeah.
But here's the problem. Corporate America does not support liberal anything.
Right.
It simply does not. That leaves these stations arguably in a bad position, because if corporate America will not buy advertising on a Mike Malloy or a Randy Rhodes or a Tom Hartman program, no matter what the ad rates are, then eventually the station has no choice. They have to go to brokered programming, or they have to switch to right-wing programming, which corporate America will support.
Right. Or maybe pick up one or two of the Jones or something like that.
Well, even Jones Radio Network that handles some liberal programming, they're in the same position. Corporate America, I don't care if it's no matter if it's Jesus Christ Radio, they will not support it unless it hews to the right wing corporatist line. They will not do it. You do not hear on Nova M Radio Network a commercial from General Motors.
Yep.
You do not hear on Nova M Radio Network a commercial from McDonald's.
Yep.
You do hear those commercials on the stations that handle Rush Limbaugh. And it's not because Rush Limbaugh tells the truth. Rush Limbaugh is a pig liar. But it's because corporate America it will not back, under any circumstances, liberal or progressive talk. They simply won't do it, no matter how big the audience is. And if there's a radio audience out here of 100 million listeners, 60 million of them are liberals.
Right.
But the Republican corporatist-dominated advertising firms will not support it. You know why?
So,
because they know if they don't, eventually it will wither and die.
Right. So we are pretty much stuck with independent stations and local advertisers then.
Or
satellite.
Clear Channel or CBS whatever the syndicators are, the networks are, whose local managers have the courage to buck the tide and put our programs on.
Like Madison.
Like Madison.
Right. Okay. I just one thing, you had a caller about a week ago and identified himself as an Orthodox Jew, and I would like to hear more from him. Just if he's listening, encourage him to call some more because I thought he had a great perspective.
Yeah, the guy from New York. Yeah,
and I'm as pro-Palestinian, pro-justice as in the Middle East as anybody, but I enjoyed hearing from him and I'd like him to call some more.
I hear what you said. Thanks, Kurt. Good to hear from you. Take care. Take care. I'm glad you finally called in. Take care. Take care.
The poor man rich, is it right to wish the rich man poor? Hope all that's well is well and fair. Wish not ever have to despair. Being so mad and I start crying. Now pay off for all my trying. To do it right, never fail. Wishing for some fairy tale. Nobody said this would be fair. They phoned you before you went out there. There's always a chance to get restarted. To a new world, new life, scarred but smarter. To a new world, new life, scarred.
A little more Kevin Kenny for you here. It's about 22 past the hour. There's a lot of good chat rooms around. NovaMradio.com has a good one. And also democracyinteractive.com. My good friend Daryl over in Montgomery, Alabama, sent me an email and said, hey, come and check in. democracyinteractive.com. So I went there for a couple of minutes, and it seems to be a good group of people in there. If you haven't been there, I'm sure it's fairly simple to register and... Well, I don't know if it's simple or not, but anyway, check that one out too, democracyinteractive.com. Daryl in Montgomery, Alabama is like Mike in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, we both exist somehow, progressives, liberals, whatever, in the maw of this beast that is the Southern Bible Belt. I don't know how we do it sometimes, but there's another one for you. A lot of you are probably familiar with it, democracyinteractive.com, but check it out. Check it out. Check them all out. There is a, you know, there's a hell of a network of liberals and progressives. You just have to find it. You just can't find it that often on AM radio. You just can't. But it's there. And it's very vibrant. It's very alive. It's doing an awful lot of connecting and organizing. We're here. We are. And you know it because you're part of it. Or you wouldn't be listening to this program, except for you right-wing lurkers who turn my stomach, but, you know, what the hell. All right, back to your phone calls. Wayne is calling from Oceanside, California, listening on KSLD. I'm sorry, KLSD. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mike. You know, this is a Republican that turned a progressive Democrat.
Oh, yeah? How did that happen?
Well, you told me to.
All right. Here's your next order. Give
you
me all your.
You
give
me how much I changed the last time we talked.
Give me all your money.
Well, I don't have much.
No, just kidding. Just kidding. So no, I think I do remember you, Wayne. Yeah.
Yeah, you said Wayne. I can't believe how much you've changed.
All right. Well. Good. Has it held?
Absolutely.
All right. Good.
You know, since the regime betrayed me.
Yeah.
I continue to be a progressive Democrat.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I just hope that it's not an inch deep. You know, I'm always, I have to tell you this because you and I can talk frankly, Wayne. I'm always a little bit suspicious of conversions. Ever since I read about Saul on his way to Damascus and was struck by God and became Paul, I'm always a little bit. I don't know. Instantaneous conversions to me sometimes just spook me a little bit. But if you say you are what you are, good.
Okay, now I have a question for you.
Sure.
The question was about the transition of CNN. And I always enjoyed CNN for many years until Ted Turner left.
Right.
And I wanted to get your input on that, and because you were there, you were one of them, and please enlighten me.
Well, what is it? What is it that you want to know?
Well, it seemed to have changed a great deal in the last several years.
Since what happened was Turner made a grievous error, and he fully admits it now and freely admits it when he allowed CNN to be bought by Time Warner
and AOL.
Well, eventually AOL, when AOL and Time Warner merged. But I think it was Time Warner first, if I remember right. And Turner realizes that he made a hell of an error. Turner was a unique white Southern man in that, you know, he went to military schools in the South. I think he went to the Citadel. He was groomed and raised to be the perfect kind of arch-conservative white Southern male. Only he didn't turn out that way. He turned out to be the perfect white Southern liberal. And that scared the hell out of an awful lot of people. A lot of people didn't believe. I'll tell you what, hold on a second, Wayne. Let me put you on hold, and I'll come back right after the break, because we got to take this break here. And I'll try to pick up on that conversation there. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay.
In time, 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 in time. In time, 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 in time.
About 25 before the hour, we're talking with Wayne, listening to KLSD in Oceanside, California. You still there, Wayne?
Yeah.
Okay. As far as Ted Turner was concerned, CNN became very popular back before it got involved in personality-delivered news. When I worked there in the mid-80s, it was about just generic anchors handling delivery of the news to keep people informed. There was no flash, no pizzazz, no jive-talking nonsense. But CNN got bigger and bigger and bigger. There was a competitor, Satellite News Service, that was owned by CBS, and Turner bought them out and tanked them. And that left CNN at the time as the only cable news network out there. So when CNN got successful, of course, here come the predators sniffing around, and the biggest predator at the time was Time Warner, and Turner. You know, I have no idea what prompted Turner to do it. It's way above my pay grade, but Turner admits now that he made a horrible mistake, because as long as he was the chairman of the board of Turner Broadcasting and had a real say in what the programming was to be about, it maintained its focus. And what I was starting to say right before the break, Turner's an environmentalist. He hates phonies. He hates the religious right. He hates Republicans. He doesn't like war, even though he went to the Citadel. He's a real decent human being, is what I'm trying to say. And because of his power, because of where he was born, because of his skin color, you don't find a whole lot of people like that in the South.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter's one. Ted Turner's one. There are more. I can't sit here and name them all off. But the problem that happened with CNN was it all started to happen when Turner let it go in terms of selling it to Time Warner. Now, I think my take, and a lot of us used to work there, he was lied to. He was told that he would be given a lot more control over the direction of that network and the editorial content than he ultimately actually was. And then when AOL got involved, that was it. That was the death kiss, because AOL is nothing but a cheap, lousy, funky internet service run by fascists who just decided that CNN had to be something that it was never designed to be, and they succeeded. I hope that answers your question.
Wow.
Does it?
That's it.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you checking in, Wayne. Take care. Jake is calling from Arcata, California, listening on KGOE. Jake, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah, and part of the problem, too, was Time Warner, the guy running it, Walter Isaacson, is a neocon.
Yeah. Oh, right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the guy could be in the Bush administration, so it's no wonder CNN's a pile of crap these days, you know?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but at least it's better than Fox.
Well, Well, sort of. I mean, CNN still is not as CNN doesn't deliberately, repeatedly broadcast lies 24/7, wall to wall, like Fox does. CNN will occasionally broadcast lies and deceptive news stories, but I think one of the things that really freaked me out. When I left Chicago and came back here in 2000, went back to work for CNN in the international division, and some of my friends were still working there from the mid-80s. And, you know, all those years ago, I first went to work there, I think, in 83, 84. So here it is, 2000, 17 years later, I come back. I still got a couple of friends that haven't been pushed out because they were senior producers, senior directors, senior writers. And they started telling me what had happened in like 98, 99, and that year that I came back, and that was that CNN had knowingly hired people who had some journalistic experience as writers and producers, but were on the payroll of the CIA. And they were actually working at CNN, and they pointed these people out to me. I said, what the hell is going on here? And they said, no, that's just the way it is now. Come on, Malloy, get in the game. If you want to get back into television writing, this is what you have to understand has happened. And as far as I know, they're still there. I have no idea if they are or not, but none of the people I know who still work at CNN have ever told me that they're not there. But these were CIA operatives who were now working at CNN. And I think most of us know that Easton Jordan, who was the head of CNN, no longer is, but he used to make frequent trips to the Pentagon to find out who would be the right people to hire from this rank, these ranks of retired starred generals to serve as CNN military advisors. So the whole organization is corrupt, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's right. And you look at these networks all across the board. On the run-up to the war in Iraq, it was just a parade of these generals. There was no anti-war voices at all other than Phil Donahue, who was fired. I don't know if you remember this, but at NBC News, there was an investigative report that was done. Of course, it wasn't in the mainstream media, but it came out that there were five current Pentagon employees working in the NBC News editing room during the time we went to war with Iraq.
Well, look at Judith Miller. Look at Judith Miller, who is a CIA operative who worked for the New York Times until they got rid of her.
Right.
There is not a major news organization in this country left that has not been infiltrated knowingly. It's not that the editorial boards or the corporate heads don't know these people are there. They're there. That's just the way it is in America now. That's
right.
The way it is in the United States.
Yeah, and these multinational corporations, they have these interlocking board of directors. You know, they're selling weapons on one side, and they have a news channel on the other side. You know, GE owns NBC.
Yeah, sure.
They're making money. NBC is promoting, they're pimping the war that General Electric's making the money off of. It's
Hello.
A perfect arrangement. Yeah, exactly.
That's the way it goes in corporate America. This was the danger of corporatism. This is what some liberals have been screaming about for the past 15 or 20 years. You have consolidation. You have the end of the fairness doctrine. You have corporate America buying in to the way news is assembled and distributed. And you have at your fingertips the absolute end of representative government and the absolute end of the free, open exchange of ideas that are so necessary for people to govern themselves.
Yeah, we have to. We have to do everything we can to support and keep progressive radio. I'd like to tell everybody in San Diego, you know, do whatever you can to keep KLSD, because what I hear is Clear Channel apparently is about to change that progressive radio station in San Diego to a sports station. In San Diego, right. They already have four right-wing stations.
Well, okay. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know about any format changes. I know a lot of people who are listening to KLSD email each other. There are bulletin boards up about this now. I have to tell you, frankly, and I mean this, I have to keep my head out of any of these decisions in order for me to do this program. I can't sit back and worry about it. But because I've been through it so many times, I have watched repeatedly in a 20-year career in radio. I've not been in radio that long. I've been in it for 20 years. And I have watched repeatedly in city after city, liberal or progressive talk eliminated, not because the marketplace said so, but because the program directors and the networks and the syndicators said, nah, we're not going to go that way. We're going to go right wing. And they did. And that meant that an awful lot of broadcasters were simply forced to go find another job. You know, I've personally experienced this. So, I don't know what to say. But again, I know this for a fact. These decisions are not made on the station level. They are made on a corporate level, so far removed from the audience that the station serves as to render the decision just totally meaningless. It's all about money. That's all it's about.
I just wanted to follow up on something that Jake had said a minute ago about corporate-owned media and the packaging of the news. And when you think about, you know, General Electric owning NBC and controlling the media and controlling the war and profiteering and yada yada, it really makes it even all the more astonishing that the Bush crime family would then feel the need to go the extra mile to actually buy the media and pay people like Armstrong Williams to tell news stories
But it's a matter of degrees, Kathy. If they control 20% or 40% or 80%, that's not enough.
But then then they would go to the small markets and they'd package happy news stories about No Child Left Behind or about, you know, some economic act or something and put it out there and have them reporting on it as if it was some sort of story that was locally produced.
But
it came straight out of, you know, Karl Rove's office.
But that's what the Bush crime family and corporatism and fascism is about. It's not about controlling half or 60 or 80%. It's about total control. That's what fascism is. And I'm not lecturing you. You know this as well as I do. I get the point that you're making. But it is about total control. Partial control is a girl's game, to turn a phrase. If you want to be a real man, a real fascist, you control all of it, every single bit of it. And you get all the stupid little people out there who subscribe to your belief system to nod their heads and agree. That's what they're after. That's what they're getting. About 10 before the hour, Great Hair wrote me an email here, and P.S., she's writing about Ted Turner. She says, Ted Turner wrote that no man should hold office anywhere for the next 10 years. No offense, but I loved him for saying that. Yeah, I remember that too. Thanks to the usual crew of bandits who put the program together tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered in Phoenix at our flagship station, KPHX. Billy Foster, who handled the chat room, where I did not get to go tonight. But thanks, Billy. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Catherine Bay, who is our executive producer. Let's see if we can get another phone call or two in here. Ramona is calling from Hammond, Indiana, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Ramona.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
I was calling because you remember my granddaughter, Ashley, my 10-year-old granddaughter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, her, myself, and her mom went with a bunch of co-pinkers, our local co-pinkers.
Right.
We met with our senator, Senator Bai.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding the Iraq War. And since Ashley's daddy is over there, you know,
right.
So it was a good idea she go along. And she was asked to ask the first question.
Mm-hmm.
And her first question was, you know, if the war was declared over, why are we still over there?
And how did Senator Evan answer that one?
Basically, in a roundabout way, he toe-tapped around it, as he did every question, but in a roundabout way, because George Bush said so.
Yeah.
You know.
So, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Regarding the media, you know, coverage of it, you know,
right.
And the anti-war demonstrations and whatnot. The media were nowhere there. They were not inside. They were
mm-hmm.
there outside.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they reported on it, though. And according to them, the co-pinkers and the senator agreed on the war, which I don't know where they got that from.
Right.
You know.
Well, how is Ashley doing?
Ashley's doing fine. She's right here, actually.
Is she?
Yeah. Ashley. Yeah, she's right here. You want to talk to her?
Sure, put her on.
Okay.
Hey, Ashley.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay, but I'm disappointed in the meeting.
What made you disappointed?
Well, as soon as he got in there, he started campaigning. He shook everyone's hand and decided to talk to me to waste time so he didn't have to answer any questions.
Oh, my.
Then, every question that was asked, he made up excuses and tap danced around it.
Oh, my.
I just feel bad for everybody that tried to set up that meeting because it took him years before he called them back, and it was for that.
What do you hear from your dad?
I don't know. I don't think we've heard from him for a while. I don't know what's up with him. I mean, he's just... We sent him pillowcases because he only had one, but...
You sent your dad a pillowcase?
Yeah. He only had one. I don't know why they don't give them anything.
Yeah, you would think that our soldiers would get pretty much anything that they would need, right, Ashley?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I just have to ask you stupid adult questions here. Has school started for you?
Yeah. Next week I'm going to go into my second week.
And you're in fifth or sixth now?
I'm in fifth now.
Fifth. Okay. How's that going? Like I said, I have to ask you stupid adult questions, Ashley. Every adult, when they talk with a 10-year-old, asks stupid questions. So I have to ask you stupid questions, okay? How's school? Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine because right now all they're doing is passing out everything and telling you what you do. So.
Oh, okay. So they're just laying out all the rules that you're supposed to remember for the next 9 months, right?
Right.
Okay, you think you can handle fifth grade okay?
Yeah, it seems fine, but I've heard that almost all the teachers are mean.
Are leaving?
Are mean, they yell. People have said that they yell a lot.
Yeah, well, if I remember fifth grade, which was 1,000 years ago, I think I think that was the case with me, too. First, second, third, and fourth grade, the teachers were like, I don't know. I guess they saw us as little kids and they were nicer. In fifth grade, things changed. So good luck with that.
Thanks.
But you, I'll bet you're a pretty good student, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm on the, every year I've been on the AB honor roll, right?
Is that like the honor roll?
Yeah, it's the whole year I got at least an A or a B.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's great, Ashley. All right, well, listen, sweetie, take care. I'm sorry you didn't have the kind of experience with your senator that you really wanted to have, but try to hold on in your mind. Remember what happened. Remember as you get older. Just keep everything clear in your head, okay?
Okay.
All right, let me talk to you. Who is I talking to? Ramona is your mom?
My grandmother.
I'm sorry, your grandma. Okay, let me talk to Ramona again. Take care, Ashley. Have a good weekend, okay?
All right, you too.
All right, sweetie.
Yes.
Oh, God. What a kid.
Oh, yes. He's something.
What a kid. All right, Ramona, we're out of time. Thanks a lot for putting her on, okay?
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Have a good weekend. All right,
talk, you too.
We'll talk again. And thanks to you for participating in the program tonight, however you did that. I'll see you Monday night, okay? Take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.